Escape from Plan A.
Escape. Escape. Escape.
From Plan A.
Escape from Plan A listeners, welcome to another episode. I am your host, Oxford Kondo, and tonight I am joined by Diana.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, how you doing, Diana? Jong?
Hey.
And Ray.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Ray? All right, and but before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone our Patreon has been up for a few weeks now. Yay! So if you want to, you know, get our bonus episodes, get access to our Discord, and also just, you know, contribute to this fund we're building to help Asian American writers when they write for us, be able to pay them, please consider contributing. Go to www.patreon.com/planamag. And of course, if you like our podcast, we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play. Rate us, subscribe, etc., and so forth. And okay, so this episode, we are going to talk about Yellow Love, which I think is very timely because Always Be My Maybe just came out. Have you guys all seen that movie?
Yep.
Looks like we got three yes. We're not going to talk too much about it. I think we're doing another podcast on it. And, you know, like Asian America has been talking about it nonstop for the last few days. So I think people are a little worn out on that, maybe. But I think the movie does raise this, I think just now we're starting to talk more about it, of, you know, seeing Asian Americans date and fuck and marry, right? So you guys, why don't you guys take it away?
Just start with anything. I mean, okay, like, well, maybe let's just start with like, what do we consider yellow love? Is that, you know, is that like East Asian, are Southeast Asians included in yellow? You know,
I used to, you know, to put it roughly, I just call it like the chink standard. If you're liable to get called chink, you qualify for yellow love, and that's really my standard. I don't know about you guys.
That's very inclusive.
But see, like, this does, like, I think, ward off, you know, like, there's all this love for Keanu Reeves going on right now, and, you know, we all like Keanu, some more than others, but, you know, trying to, you know, he's still very white passing, and trying to shoehorn him into, like, yellow love, you know, he doesn't pass the chink test, you know, so, sorry, Keanu, you know, you're great and all, but we're not going to count you on this podcast.
Yeah, but it does include, like, all Southeast Asians, which I think is significant.
I think Southeast Asians, most of them get treated as kind of, you know, it's like if there was some kind of roundup of all, you know, so-called Chinese people because of some war with China, I feel like most Southeast Asians would get rounded up into that. I mean, we just talked about it recently in our Brown and Yellow Asian podcast. So yeah, I think Southeast Asians are pretty much included in this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be useful to talk about sort of how we were individually socialized and why this concept of yellow love is even necessary. Like, what is this? In my view, it's a response. And what is that? What is it a response to?
Are you going to answer that yourself? Was that a rhetorical question to set up?
No, that was an actual question for you guys.
Oh, okay. Does anyone want to take a stab at that?
Sure. I don't know. For me, I don't really think of it as a response to anything. My experience with it's just simply more comfortable. I don't know. It's really like as simple as that to me. I've just connected easier. I've connected better with other Asians. There are definitely some differences. The reason I even ask, like, what is yellow love? And one of the kind of prime questions for me, things that kind of topics that I was playing with is like, how, like, okay, if I'm dating another Korean girl, right? I'm Korean. If I'm dating another Korean, there's a definite connection there that cannot be provided by somebody else, or at least somebody who's not familiar with Korean culture, right? But if I'm dating somebody that's Chinese, well, does that still apply, right? In some cases it does, some cases it doesn't.
Well, I think it's good to talk about how we've been socialized, right? Because, like, I guess something that I never really thought about before, but that I think about now is, like, you know, I always assumed I would end up with somebody who's not Asian. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't mean white. I kind of assumed, like, either white or, like, somebody like another person of color, you know?
How much of that had to do with your upbringing in Nebraska? In case listeners don't know, Diana mostly grew up in Nebraska, which is obviously not very populated with Asians.
I think it has a lot to do with that. You know, like, I don't know. Like, people talk about, like, preference in terms of, like, Asian relationships or, like, you know, like, interracial relationships. You know, the need for that. But, like, I never had, like, a preference away from Asians. But I just assumed because there's more of other people and, like, you're not supposed to, like, care about race in relationships, you know? That, like, I would just, like, naturally find connection in terms of, like, interests or activities or, like, personality in somebody from another race. I mean, I think it's probably because I grew up, like, not around other Asians, you know? Like, if I had grown up, like, in the 626, I'd be like, yeah, of course I'd be with somebody Asian.
Okay, so for people who might not know, what exactly is the 626?
Oh, like Los Angeles, you know, like, yeah.
San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for not everyone is as California-centric. Well, actually, no, Diana, you don't live in California.
Yeah, it's like a giant Chinatown. It's a China city.
Yeah, I went to college in California, so I know about it.
That's true. Actually, all three of you have ties to California except for me.
That's right.
Just as a side note, Berkeley is fucking awesome if you're trying to be in kind of this like tight knit enclave sort of type feel. You know, some people will criticize it for having too many Asians, but that's, you know, one of the reasons that I feel so comfortable there sometimes.
Uh-huh. But to answer Ray's question, I definitely do think we're fighting against this idea that to be a well adjusted Asian American, you pretty much have to date white. And I think I want to read this part that Christina Chu, she's a part of Plan A. Unfortunately, couldn't be part of this podcast, but she wrote this great essay like years ago in the Harvard Crimson called Yellow Love, Politics, and Poetry. And there's this great line from it where she says, "Yes, there are Asian-Asian couples as well. Helen Zia and Leah Shigemura, MC Jin and Carol Ao Young, Randall and Jaisal Park. But these relationships are not presented as thought over, snuck into, poeticized, sexed out, or struggled as their interracial counterparts. They do not compose our poetry, our romance, our big bad dreams." And I thought that was just so well written because I think it does encapsulate this thing where if you are like this Asian American who is, you know, fully bought into the American dream, is not some, you know, stereotypical drone-like Asian, you will either like date and marry white or at least non-Asian. And for you to be with another Asian is kind of this fallback, safe, boring option. And I think one of the reasons why so many Asian Americans like Always Be My Maybe is that it does show, you know, Asians having, you know, sex and all that. And that's why they like crazy rich Asians. So yeah, to Ray's point, I think that is what Yellow Love is fighting against, because we see other minority groups celebrating, you know, Black love is a thing. I'm sure in the Latino community that's celebrated as well. But with like yellow Asians, it's considered something that's you know, either boring or dangerous, but like not in a sexy dangerous way, just like, you know, dangerous. Like, well, if you do that, you're gonna be like anti-American or un-American.
Well, that and kind of it is framed, like growing up, it's framed as sort of the default, right? Like it, like from the get-go, it's just being around other Asians is already discouraged. Never mind having a romantic relationship with another Asian.
Exactly. Yet at the same time, I think a lot of Asian Americans grow up with some parental pressure, so they associate it with this almighty force coming from their parents pushing them to date Asian. Therefore, even if you're, you know, going after the most dominant demographic in the country, you know, white people, whom, you know, if they're woke, are probably constantly complaining about, you know, white people this, white people that, yet they still associate, you know, marrying into that group as something that's revolutionary, and, you know, marrying into other Asian as some. I think it still lingers from childhood, this thing that is forced upon by an older traditional kind of thing. But in the real world, it's actually not, right? You look out there in the media, and it's, until very recently, yellow love was just not a thing.
Yeah, I never got that message of, well, my parents never pressured me into dating Asian. They didn't actively encourage it, but they just expected me to date a white person and, like, eventually end up with a white person. And the only people that pressured me into dating Asian were white people. So I was like, really? That's racist.
Yeah. Wait, let me, I want to ask you this, Diana. So how did you get this message from your parents? Like, how did you know they felt this way?
I don't know. They never encouraged me to do anything, but it's just like, if I was dating a white person, they would say nothing. And if I wasn't, they would be more against it.
Wait, seriously? Like, even another Asian?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, oh. I've heard of this happening, but...
I feel like a lot of Asian parents discourage their kids, at least to some level. At least the ones I grew up with.
Wait, from being with another Asian person?
Yeah, they were like, oh, but that's... Like, you're not moving up in the world if you do that. Hmm. That's the message.
And this... Wait, let me ask you this. Was it both, like, sons and daughters?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask if... What, you know, present the question if there's a gender component to it.
Well, I mean, I had more, like, women friends, Asian women friends. So it's like, skewed, you know, like, but, yeah, like, the, well, okay. The middle class people that I knew were like that.
I definitely experienced a strong pressure to date Korean.
Yeah, me too.
And a lot of it, I think, was predicated on...
Maybe that's a Korean thing, Jung.
Yeah, maybe it's a Korean thing, you know, given our history and all that. I always thought it was because I'm a guy, and as such, I have a lot of... I have strong filial duty to, you know, continue the name and traditions, etc., which is very much at risk if I don't end up with another Korean.
Yeah, I mean, this is purely an anecdote, but I remember when I was somewhere in high school and my mom was with her friend who's a Korean woman, and she both had sons and daughters. And I remember her saying that while it was okay if her daughter, you know, married a white man, because she had the stereotype that, you know, like, white guys were just, like, easy to handle. But she said she would never let either of her sons marry white women. And of course, like, when Asians talk about interracial, it's almost always with white. Like, the concept of marrying other race, like, non-Asian, non-white races is often unthinkable to you know, yellow Asians.
To be fair, it's uncommon for that perception to go the other way as well. Not a lot of other people of color necessarily see themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
As Asians.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, for minorities, interracial basically means white. But anyway, she said that she would never let either of her sons marry. And this is, like, translated from what she said in Korean, but she was like, basically said she doesn't want some blonde bitch taking care of her grandchildren. And I just heard this, and it's been stuck in my mind ever since. So, I think there is sometimes a gendered component to it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to echo a lot of what's already been said. I think a lot of it is classed. That is, as you move up the sort of socioeconomic ladder, you know, you start sort of bifurcating into Asians who only hang out with Asians and Asians who hang out with other races. But whenever it's other races, it's almost like predominantly white. I'm saying that from not as a normative comment, but as an empirical. That's what it's like, not what it should be. I almost felt like that there is this implicit pressure that if you're an open-minded Asian, that you would date other races, aka white, and right. And I think that's a lot of what this is, you know, and what that article really was about. It's what comprises our dreams, what is valorized, what is our ideals, what do we think is cool, all those things, you know. And I do think that the hard part about this whole discussion is that there are a lot of, like, quote unquote, basic Asians or defaulted Asians, apolitical Asians, and their relationships do seem like products of ease and comfort and parent friendliness. And I think that it gives this other class, this more white adjacent, I would say, class of people, an excuse to be like, oh, they're basic, we are upgraded or elevated.
Right.
But I don't know. But I think that it's time to sort of reestablish what it means to have a yellow love that is highly politicized.
Can I ask a question? Just people, like, everyone's associating safe and comfortable with boring. But why is that? Because when you're a person of color, when you're an Asian person, like, it's hard. Like, most places aren't safe and you're uncomfortable all of the time. So why isn't safety and personal comfort valorized?
I think that's such a valid point, and it needs to be.
Especially for white adjacent Asians.
Totally, totally. And I think in Trump's America, that's very much being highlighted, right? Like, how many op-eds are coming out being like, oh my God, talking to my white partner in Trump's America is so hard. And, but I still think that, like, the political component is necessary because, look, I love being Asian. It's fantastic. I love the way, like, emotions move through my family.
We're Asian, yeah.
With what is unsaid. I love our food. I love my yellow body. I mean, but it's not simply just about tribalism. It's not just...
You're so smooth. I can just imagine your skin.
but it's not just about tribalism. I think that, you know, Asians should love Asians, like, period. But it's also, like, it's also reversing a trend. You know, a trend that goes beyond, I would say, Asian America. A trend rooted in U.S. history. And, you know, a lot of this is sort of well documented in what's called the whitening literature. And I want to bring that up. It's basically a body of literature that really tracks how whiteness works, how the Irish and then the Italians and most recently the Jews were all white at one point, or all weren't white at one point, and then eventually were absorbed into sort of the white power structure, really at the cost of one constant outgroup, which are blacks. And, you know, whiteness scholars really think that light-skinned Latinx people and Asian Americans are really at the cusp of whiteness. And so really, it is an inherently political thing, like who you choose, who you hang out with, who you make families with, like all these things should be politicized. It's not just about, like, Asians choosing Asians because I love being Asian, which I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, when I think about that, to your question about why aren't Asian couples seen, why are they seen as boring? Why is it seen as safe? I think part of it is that choice, right? It's one thing to say, I don't know, I just fell into this relationship. It's another to say, I saw them, I was attracted to them, and I wanted to be with them.
Mm-hmm. I have a slightly different theory. I think that yellow love has been so almost outlawed. I mean, like, it was, like, literally outlawed, you know, like...
Yeah, that's true.
Like a century ago. So, but I still think that remains. It's so, like, cast upon with suspicion that any good reason you might have to go into it is turned bad. Because when a lot of Asians say, you know, say they want white partners, a lot of times they say that because I just want to feel normal. It's not so that they want to feel like they're breaking taboo or something. A lot of them just say, I just want to be considered normal. I just want the, like, what I saw on TV, All American, whatever, growing up. So they're actually aiming for safeness. But when it's towards a white partner, then it's glamorized. But when it's towards an Asian,
right,
another Asian, then it's made to look bad. And then if you also look at it from maybe if you can celebrate you kind of like dysfunctional relationships with a white person, it's exciting, it's romantic, whatever. But with an Asian person, it's no wonder, like, nobody, Asians don't want to date Asians. Look at how bad they're turning out. The guy's probably going to, like, beat the girl, or the girl's going to just, like, cheat on him or something. So there's no way to win because it's a rigged system.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
As a counterpoint to that, though, Diana kind of touched on this, there are definitely there's a number of moments where I'm maybe one of, like, a handful of Asian guys, and there are a handful of Asian girls, and people will come up and be like, hey, have you met Tiffany? They'll just try and match you, you know? And I'm like, well, do you know anything about me? I don't know anything about her. I've never even met her. Why do you think we're going to be good? And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, you're both Asian, so we thought we'd pair you guys up.
And, these are by non-Asian people?
Yeah, by white people, generally.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, yes, like, definitely Asian romantic couplings have been outlawed, literally. But there is also this phenomenon where, I don't really know how to describe it, but they kind of, I don't know, they're playing like Ken and Barbie, kind of.
Yeah, but I do have to also wonder why that repulses Asians so much. Because if someone did that because, let's say, they're like, oh, you're hot, she's hot, you guys should get together. People probably wouldn't get upset about that, even though it's also just as superficial. It's not really about your personality. But I think the fact that growing up, yellowness is, we're told by society, it's not really something to want to belong to. And you're like, why are you judging me by that? I don't want to be associated with it. That's it, right? Because it's not really about being categorized physically, because I think other physical categorizations, we probably wouldn't care that much. But I'd be like, oh, you look sporty, she looks sporty, you guys probably will hit it off, right?
I guess so. I mean, I didn't, me personally, well, I don't know, it depends on some examples, but I wasn't really responding with disgust. It was more confusion, like, mm-hmm. what,
but there are, know, Asians who would be just disgusted there are, by there that are. Right? Yeah,
well, for me, it's not disgust at the other Asian person, it's more disgust at the white person for just assuming.
Yeah exactly. And a lot of times there's this pattern where it's a it's, you know, 95% white. They have an Asian friend who is single and has been single for, you know, a couple of years, and they kind of treat it like, oh, it's about time that she had a partner, and they think I'm suitable, I would be interested in her simply because we're both Asian. And like, I'm not going to be mad at an opportunity to get to know somebody and meet somebody, but it definitely is off-putting when that happens enough times.
Yeah,
and it can be kind of awkward.
It makes you realize that they think about you in a racialized way, and that's what's off-putting to me.
Right, exactly. It wasn't like, oh, the both of you play lacrosse or both of you are into sports. It was literally as basic as, well, you guys are both Asian, and so we thought you guys would be into each other.
Well,
but it's like, if we were to do the reverse and just be like, well, you're both white, you know, you guys should be able to hit it off right away, they'd look at us like we're fucking crazy.
Okay, but just to ask this question, if we are saying, you know, yellow love is something that we all believe in, we're also doing that racial thing ourselves, right? Is it that we don't like it when white people do it to us?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't like it if anyone did it to me.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of responses here. I mean, there's one response that's kind of like, Asianness or Chineseness or whateverness is not the totality of my personality, and I feel like that just misunderstands identity. That makes me like visualize, like, you know, myself as a pie chart, and there's like this little yellow sliver, and then everything else is white. You know, that just like completely, like my Asianness is like, I don't know, it suffuses everything, right? It's in all my crevices. It's the total, you know, it's, I feel like the idea, the rhetorical stance of like, that's not only who I am, is a really bad misunderstanding of identity. I wonder if it also has to do with just like people thinking like, oh, this is what you think what Asian means. Like, let's play it out where if they assume that Asian meant awesome, and basically it's like, oh, Jong, you're Asian, so you're awesome. And Tiffany's Asian, so she's awesome. Like, would we also be just as offended? And we might be. I just wanted to play that out.
Yeah, well, because here's my question. Because I think a lot of Asians who don't like the idea of yellow love are having that similar reaction. Let's say, like, an Asian woman comes up to me and says, hey, Oxford, you know, and then we hit it off. And then I find out she specifically went after me because I was Asian, and she felt like, you know, Asians just have more in common, and et cetera. And I mean, me being me, I would be really into that. But if I think there are a lot of Asian Americans who aren't, and I think they would react that way. Like, why can't you see me for myself and not my race? So I'm trying to think, how do we get over that? Cause we don't like it when white people do it to us. You know, how are like Asians going to react when other Asians do it to them?
Well, I don't know if there's, I don't, you know, it's not my default response. That has been my response for those occasions. I feel like you can really only take it on a case by case basis.
Yeah, can sure. I can mm-hmm. I just say I have kind of a brown fetish. Like, I just think South Asian guys are so hot. But like when you I mean, like, right? Like of course there's like preference, you know, but I think there's a difference between just like that being one layer of what attracts you to a person versus like just that being the only thing that is in, you know, like, you know what I mean? Because it's like when a white person sees like a random person who's Asian and then you, who they know really well, or like you think they know you really well, and they're like, oh, I'm going to match you up solely based on your race, even though you're supposed to be like knowledgeable about who I am as a person overall. That's the messed up thing. And also, it's like if somebody is saying, okay, I'm going to approach you because I think you're aesthetically attractive or whatever, you know, like because of your race, like that does, and then you know, like start talking and hit it off, that's kind of fine to me. But if you're like with that person, or you're trying to match somebody up like just because of that, right? I guess it's like what Ray was saying about like what percentage are you factoring in race, like is it like what percentage of the pie chart, you know?
Okay, well, I think we're getting a little intellectual here. I mean, we can always go back to it, but I want to get more into your guys' personal story, because you know, all of us here have you know, Asian boyfriends or girlfriends. So I want to ask you, starting with whoever, like, did you always grow up being attracted to other Asians, or was that something that changed over time? Ray, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I mean, from the earliest I can remember, I was always attracted to Asians, and I have always preferenced that. And I think what's really tough about that is that people give me pushback for that, as if that is like provincial and narrow-minded. But like, that has always been, I don't know, I've always seen it as like, I was acutely aware that like, that there was something really special about like elevating this type of, like this type of person, right? Like, you are in a white world and you are degraded in said white world, and it is radical to choose each other. And I feel like I don't know, like that lands on deaf ears sometimes. That just seems like, oh, well, you must be like a basic Asian.
Who was giving you pushback?
Oh, I remember being in, yeah, like being in college and just being like, oh, like, you know, what's your type and all that. And I was just saying, like, I date Asian, you know.
I mean, no, being bad. What were the demographics of the people? Were these other Asians, non-Asians, men, women, etc.?
Let's think. I'm just thinking about like my freshman floor. It was like predominantly like, white people and Asian American women, who would hold those. Yeah, no, totally. And I think that like for me in those spaces, like that's the thing, is that like I almost felt like white trophyism was so encouraged, you know. You'd be like, oh, you know, like I did every, or you know, like you say I date everyone, but that means you date white girls, right? And so like
yeah.
And by the way, I also want to push back to the pushback on white trophyism too, because I do think like there often like the pushback against white trophyism, that is horrible. I hate white trophyism. I've never valorized white trophyism. But the pushback that comes from white trophyism often comes from Asian American women that think that like that do not recognize the asymmetry in assimilation. And do not recognize, and frankly, we all, like Asian American men, don't know our own history. They don't know the Cable Act of 1922 that basically, if white women, you know, married Asian guys, they would lose their citizenship. They don't know how it's grounded in history. And so, you know, like we all don't know it. But I think there's this assumption that sort of like, you know, if you're just open-minded, you know, you date white.
Can I clarify something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you said that Asian American women were giving you pushback on white trophyism?
No. That's like a dynamic I see online, where like there are Asian American guys who think progress is basically dating white and just like, you know, you know, crushing the system and just like working out and like getting that like hot white girl. It's like total white trophyism. It's total bullshit. I totally think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I also think that pushing back against
it
that
is bullshit.
You have to understand too, like where it comes from. It's totally not justified, but also like that ahistorical view, the idea that like, you know, that they wouldn't think it's special is also bullshit. Like it's totally ahistorical, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Diana, what about you? Like, you know, growing up, did you were you attracted to Asians? If not, like, when did like the switch happen, etc.?
Oh no, I was always totally attracted. Like, my first crush was this Vietnamese boy in my fifth grade class. Oh my god, he was in the sixth grade, and I just like loved him. I was like so obsessed. It was like so sad because he thought I was a loser, and he would like take his friends and just like would like follow me around, me and my friend, like when we were walking home, and just like say mean shit to me. But like I didn't care. I was like, I still think you're the best thing ever.
What the fuck? Actually, that's really interesting. Diana, I'm sure you have more to say, but you know, recently that article by Madeline Chung, in Flare magazine, I saw a really interesting discussion in Asian2X, the subreddit for Asian American women. It was like,
I'm not familiar with it,
but it's kind of like Can you give a summary? Asian2X is of what? Oh, the article.
The article, yeah.
Oh, really? You haven't seen? Oh, so it was this Asian American writer named Madeline Chung. She wrote about how growing up, she's, you know, specifically avoided dating Asian guys. But, you know, after she's like in her mid 20s now. And, you know, after realizing that being with, you know, white guys presented a whole bunch of problems, she's actually now with an Asian guy. And I guess she now believes in yellow love, too. But it spawned this very interesting discussion in the Asian2X subreddit. And there were a lot of Asian women there who, like Diana, I think early in their lives had attraction to Asian boys, but then they got kind of like what happened to Diana. And, you know, thankfully, I guess that didn't scar you for life, Diana, make you hate us all. But just given the way how, you know, non-white people are so essentialized by their race, it's like you have one or two bad experiences with a person of color, that gives you full right to... it's not even right. It just like ingrains itself in your head. You can't even help yourself but think to generalize them for the rest of your life. I saw a lot of that in that thread, which I think is interesting because I think Asian guys have this idea that, you know, Asian girls are always so ahead of us. They don't even think about us. But, you know, maybe some are like that. But also there are some who do get hurt early on. Anyway, Diana, please continue.
Well, yeah, I don't think like that I don't understand how that makes you hate, you know, not attracted to people anymore. Because, like, you know, being rejected by Asian boys, that doesn't make me think they're less attractive. That just makes me think, oh, like, I need to be careful who to approach because they might think I'm gross. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's... I don't understand that. To me, that doesn't make sense because that's never how I felt. It's never really what happened to me. Like, it's not like I think every Asian guy is hot or anything. It's just like, there's hot ones, you know? Like, there are in any race, and there's like douchebags, and like, avoid the douchebags. It's like not rocket science.
Well, what I have heard is basically like, they weren't attracted to me. I wasn't the Asian ideal, right? I was a little bigger. I was blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, and then they don't perhaps lose attraction. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But then they start dating other, right? Other non-Asian, non-yellow, usually white. And, you know, as the discourse around attraction has really progressed, we know that, you know, it is about repetition. It is habitual. There are certain attraction pathways that sort of become static over time. And I think that's what it's about. So I do think like yellow love does also have to incorporate sort of a valorization of like all different body types, for sure, you know, like and all different types of Asian. Like, I hate it when yellow people were like, oh, you know, like, I'm an artist, so I didn't feel that Asian, or I'm a little bit bigger, so I didn't feel that Asian. And it's just like, what the fuck? We have such a narrow view of what it means to be yellow, you know what I mean?
Yeah
I mean, you go to Asia and there's every type of yellow person there.
Yeah, And just for the record, there are plenty of Asian artists.
For sure.
Mean Asian American or Asian?
In America, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying in Asia, yeah.
There's plenty of scientists who are also artists.
Mm. Yeah,
definitely.
John, what about you? Growing up, what were you like?
I've definitely always been attracted to Asians. I think I've just been attracted to women of color in general. But interestingly enough, my first few girlfriends up until like halfway through high school were all white. And I don't really know how that happened. Well, I do know how that happened in middle school, but high school was a lot more diverse. Not really sure how that happened. I did, go out on dates with non-white people, and hook up with them, etc. It just, never really turned out where I actually had. Yeah.
Damn, you're a player.
Ah, nah.
Then again, I went to an all-guys school, so it's a little harder for me.
Yeah, see, that's gonna matter. But my most intimate relationships, have been with Asian women or women of color. And I think that's partially a function of where I grew up, like being in the Bay, being in Berkeley. I would say it seemed, as an adult now, I feel that I was more politically activated at a younger age. And these, discussions about race, were pretty common. And so I think that did kind of permeate my decision making. And it allowed being intimate with another person of color, I think, gave me an opportunity to sort of explore and discuss some of these concepts that I couldn't do with some of my white partners. I mean, I could have that discussion, but it's a different discussion that we have, right?
Yeah.
That's just been my experience.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the barriers to yellow love, because I think if you have Asian Americans who are not comfortable talking about the really like deep cut kind of Asian stuff, then being with another Asian is almost very superficial. And Asian American culture is, not very well developed. A lot of times it just seems like imitating other cultures. So I think there's a certain fakeness to a shallow concept of yellow love that I do think is a little repulsive, because it just seems like, it almost seems like just kind of the rejects getting together. You're trying to be white, but you're not really white. So you find a person who's kind of in the same boat. I think that's what really turns off people. And I think if you can have this very aggressive, militant kind of yellow love, at least it stands for something. And that's, I think, sexy, As for me, I think I was also just attracted to, Asians growing up. I remember my mom, had a friend and her and her daughter and I were the same age. And I mean, you're too young to be attracted to each other, but we grew up, playing house and stuff. So the idea of marrying another Asian girl was just so natural to me.
Yeah.
In fourth grade, there was this Chinese girl in my class who was just, I fell in love with her 2 years, but she never liked me back. So that was very painful 2 years, etc. But something did change as I was growing up. I don't think I ever lost my attraction to Asian girls, but you do become knowledgeable about the racial hierarchy and how as an Asian guy, you're not allowed to be with certain girls. And that it kind of starts fucking with your head, because if it were just about who I'm attracted to, then it doesn't matter. But now you're thinking about, I want to show up all those guys or girls who think that I'm just some meek little Asian guy who's just going to stick to my comfort zone and things like that. And I remember in college, there was this thing I would notice where with kind of non-Asian, especially white girls, I always felt like nobody really even knew I was there kind of thing. Yet when I went to an Asian American club or some other kind of Korean club or something, I just suddenly felt like everybody's paid more attention to me. And there was this one
it can be night and day.
Yeah, that's that thing. And I remember I was just having with my brother and this other Korean friend of mine, I think we were just having lunch somewhere, and this Korean girl comes up to me, and I swear this is a true story, I'm not just making this up to make myself look good, and she had memorized my entire, like, she was like my brother's year, but she knew of me as my brother's brother. And she knew like my class schedule. And she like, she said, oh, you're known as the Korean guy who looks like a certain celebrity. And, you know, part of me was flat, but part of me was also pissed off because like, I'm never going to be treated like that with non-Asian people. Even though it's not like I suddenly act different or even dress different around it. I'm the exact same person, but it's so different the way I get treated. And what is the difference? It's just race and gender. And that would piss me off. And yeah, but I think as you get older, you stop trying to play that game where you're always just concerned about trying to show other people. It's more like, no, what do I want? And things like that. So, and especially after I spent a couple of years in Korea, and then even if you grow up around a lot of Asian Americans, the image of the Asian Americans is so limited. You really have to go to Asia. Then you see like the whole wide range of like just yellow humanity. And I think after that, you know, I'm always open-minded. I'm always open to being with everybody, all women. But, you know, I do think there is something special to being with another yellow person because there are certain things that you can talk about that you just can't with other people.
Can I say something? Oxford, can we go back to what you were saying about how like a militant, you know, like a politicized version of yellow love would be really powerful? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's totally true. Because like, I think, well, so most of the Asian guys that I dated were not really political. Like they didn't, and my friends too, you know, like, that I met, they're kind of like not very, they don't know their history and they don't really have strong like racial opinions, identity politics. They don't really get, or like they're just kind of like not educated, and they're kind of like white adjacent, at least the ones that I know the best. And it's just kind of like you are kind of just like almost white, but it's like, but with you're just like a shitty white guy but without the privilege.
Exactly.
So like,
yeah, why would anyone want that?
Yeah, so I'm just like looking at you, I'm just like, well, I kind of wouldn't want to date you if you didn't, you know, like, you know, like what is the plus, you know? So it's like,
isn't there value? You know, we were kind of discussing this offline or off the pod. You know, one of the reasons that we're in support of yellow love is also that there's just inherent value in it, right? That it, like, why does it need more? Why does it need to have a political component for it to be worthy of pursuit?
Oh, by political, I just mean like something that's not just, that just doesn't come down to aesthetics. Cause I think, Diana, when you talk about that very almost white type of yellow love, that is almost entirely dependent on finding the Asian aesthetic pleasing. Cause what else would there be, right? Well, maybe like food, but that's also not that deep.
I mean, in my experience, at least, the sort of family obligations, you know, we talk about like often in, you know, in discussions, it's seen as this burden, but at the same time, I find it very powerful, that we have the family ties that we do, right? And this, the sort of sense of like a greater obligation to your extended family that I think we're a little bit removed from.
Kind of what either you, Jung, or Diana was saying about the revalorization of these sort of trite old things, right? Like, I mean, come on, like supporting your family? I mean, like that is like, particularly as immigrants who are surviving, like that is an inherently political act that should be framed as radical and valorized and idealized. But, you know, I feel like we're getting back to this thing where, you know, yellow people are a distribution just like any other people group. They're going to be, the vast majority of people are going to be really apolitical, you know, and I feel like what happens when you're a minority, and particularly if you're not white, is that if you are at the tails, you become less of that minority, right? And I feel like there's a greater consciousness of this after like, all the stuff around OJ, right? I'm not black, I'm OJ, right? I'm not black, I'm Kanye, right? Like, I distinctly remember, like, and this vignette encapsulates it so much, where like I was hanging out it was like a freshman year, freshman floor, hanging out with like two friends, two white girls, and we were in like one of their dorms, and I think this guy, I think his name was Jim or something like that, he walked by, and like he was super studious, Asian dude, like he didn't say a word, all he did was study, and they were like, oh, there goes Jim. It's like, and they had said something along the lines that was like, in my mind looking back, so blatant. It was like, oh, like so Asian or something like that. And I said, what does that mean? And they looked at me and they're like, oh shit, like, oh, but that's not you. You're not Asian, right? Like, I was the exception, and I became less Asian, right? And that told me a lot about what they thought Asian meant, right? And so when OJ says, I'm not black, I'm OJ, black meant low class, black meant poor. And so, like,
right.
I think that we need, with Yellow Love, you know, we need those quote-unquote exceptions, whoever are at the tails of the distribution, to be like, no, I'm fucking yellow, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm looking for is, like, more woke Asians to be able to talk about, like, what being racialized means, you know? And to, like, to discuss, like what we do, just, like, what that feels like, what the experience is, what the history is, and how to exist. Because, I mean, that's kind of the point of being a partner, is that, you know, having a partner is that, like, you can be all of yourself, and you can, like, sort through your problems together, right? And, like, if you're with somebody who you can talk about all of those things with, like, that's the best partner. But if one of those is missing, that it feels incomplete. And I think for me, that's what Yellow Love means, is just like, you have, you know, you have the food, and you have like the same values, and like the family stuff, but also like the identity, like the understanding of the identity, so you can like sort through your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think right now the problem is, I'm sure there are a lot of like these woke couples in like the Asian America right now, but they just have no platform, because I think the only woke Asians who get to speak about this are the ones who are more trying to break into white circles, and their racial consciousness is really a reaction to not feeling 100% comfortable in those white spaces, and so they have that racial consciousness, but it's their audience, their object of affection and preoccupation are all white. You don't have an Asian dialogue on this, and I think that's what's needed, and I think that's what we're all talking about when we talk about Yellow Love.
That's why Ali Wong's so special and important.
Yeah,
because like
Saint Ali, yeah.
Because like women have a way bigger platform to talk about this, and she's the only one who's with another Asian person,
and she's so aggressive about it. She's not just like with a person; she's like constantly talking about it, to the point where I'm sometimes almost like, oh, you know, you don't have to talk about, you know, how hot Asian guys are in every interview, Ali. You can, you know, you can.
Yes, she does. Nobody else is doing it.
But yeah, the truth is, yeah, she does. She's like the burden should not be on her, but she is having to fight back against like decades and decades of shit. So.
Yeah, I definitely think it's more radical when Asian American women choose yellow. I mean, as opposed to Asian American men. And I mean, right, like, I think, like, there's an implicit assumption when Asian American men do that, they are essentially defaulting to constrained options.
Yeah. And I think that's a truth that I think we all have to confront. And I think that is why yellow love is looked upon dangerous. Because I think black love is a little bit easier to talk about, because it's like the men curtailing their options, which is easier to conceive of in a socially liberal framework. But with yellow love, it's actually the opposite. It's like Asian guys are assumed to either to prefer Asian women, either out of choice or force. Honestly, nobody really cares. I mean, outside of Asian guys, right? Nobody really cares. So it's actually the yellow women who are going to have to turn down options. So they're the ones actually making the social sacrifice, like if you want to call it sacrifice, social sacrifice. And I think that it's very easy to for that to turn into what looks like a taking back of social power. And if taking women's power is sexist and misogynist, I think that's where the accusation comes from. And I think that's a reason why yellow love is sometimes looked at as suspiciously.
Yeah. What one place that I think Asian men can be more radical about yellow love is actually kind of... I'm also kind of... I'd like to expand the concept of yellow love to be beyond just romantic interest.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's like so important.
If we want to get philosophical, it's also about loving yourself, right? And who you are and what you're
about. Friendships, also very important.
But friendships as well, professional relationships as well. Like one thing that I have run into quite a lot is, there will be some questionable racism in the workplace. And it's as simple as just standing up and being the first person to be like, no, that's not cool. We don't do that here. And I've had a number of Asian women come up and thank me later and say like, hey, I really appreciate you just saying something because I wasn't sure about how to go about it or how to push back on the comment that was made to me or the discussion that was happening.
See, and that's hot. Jong, that is so hot. That's what Asian women want their fucking men to be like. Just like stand the fuck up for yourself and for us. Cause like, especially in career situations, you just can't do it. Like you'll get gaslight and like called a bitch so hard. Like we can't do it. Like we need you. We need you here for us. That's what I meant by politicized. Like you need to develop that consciousness so you can stand the fuck up for all of us.
Yeah. Very well said.
And it's one of the places where we do have privilege as men, right? And so I think we should use it. Like yellow love means looking out for each other.
Yeah. That's why I'm with the person I'm with, Like the first time I saw him, he was on stage, he's a comedian and he's just like talking about like race stuff. And he's like so smart about it and sharp about it and funny. And I'm like, you're taking a stand. And I was like, he is the hottest person I have ever seen. He is the hottest person. And I thought about him for like a year and a half. And then the first time I knew I was going to meet him, I was like, I am going to just dig a hole and push him in it. And he's going to be mine.
Yeah, there's that sexy militancy that I think is severely lacking. I think in both, on all Asian Americans in genders, but I do think that, the guys have to step up on that. That's just the way it is. Okay. I think that a lot of guys don't do it. And the most pathetic thing is like, the Asian guy who just lets things slide all the time, even like gaslights other Asians like that, If you're a group that does keep doing that, you kind of deserve, I'm sorry to say, we do kind of deserve like getting overlooked if we keep doing that, right? You can't do that shit.
And a lot of the times they'll let it slide by rationalizing it like, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, like,
every benefit of the doubt,
Yeah. But the thing is, if it's not a big deal, why can't you just ask for it?
Yeah.
If it's really not a big deal, like you don't have any qualms about asking for an extra napkin at the restaurant, do you?
Yeah.
Right. So like, if it's not a big deal, then just step up and make that space. I think they'll find that it's a lot easier than they think it is, and that it's not going to come with the repercussions that they think it will.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to highlight when we're talking about sort of yellow friendship, right, and yellow community, how radical it is, particularly in spaces and industries that just don't have a lot of yellow people. I've heard a lot like quote unquote yellow creatives, which is a term, by the way, I want to completely bury.
Oh yeah. Just douse it in gasoline and boil it in oil.
Yeah. Fucking bury it. I've heard it said from a lot of yellow creatives, quote unquote, like, it's my industry. I have to get to know people. It's all relational. It's all connections. And that's why I have all white friends. And I think there's a particular you know, radical edge or a particular valence to having yellow community and yellow connections, particularly in spaces where they're just not enough to, right? And I think, you know, it's precisely because it's white dominated that you need yellow people. You know what I mean?
Like, one reason I know that's bullshit is a lot of Asians claim the exact opposite, basically, when they say, oh, I grew up around too many Asians, that's why I'm not attracted to them. It's like, well, so what is it? Is it like there are too few Asians, too many Asians? It seems to always lead to the same result. So that's how you know the game is rigged, right? When no matter what you do, outcome's the same.
Yeah, and also, like, there's a trend of, like, women from Asia, like, who grew up in Asia, who are just, like, getting together with white men exclusively. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, none of those racialized things, like, experiences happened in Asia, so it has to be something else.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I think another part of just promoting yellow love is just, like, Asian Americans just thinking of each other as just like sexual beings. I'm just wondering if you guys have any funny like sex stories involving other Asian Americans. Ray, I know you have some stories, man.
Why am I singled out?
Come on, like you're always talking about kinky ass shit when we're like offline or online, but not on.
I am really interested in how do you eroticize two yellow bodies. Particularly because that is not a porn genre.
Show us how it has manifested in your personal life.
Well, if anything, a lot of my stories are sort of the opposite. You know, I have a lot of actually bad experiences, particularly with Asian American women who are like, oh my god, like you're like my first Asian guy, and I'm like, what is really, like one really, and two, what does that mean? You know, but anyways, with the porn thing, I think it's really important. To ask, what does it mean to eroticize two yellow bodies when that is not a precedent set by porn, which we know drives like almost all conceptions of sex.
So no stories, Ray?
I mean, mostly bad ones, as I've said. Mostly bad ones, I think.
Well, share them anyway then.
I mean, I was living abroad in Geneva like one summer, and I remember just like hooking up with one Asian American and one Asian Canadian woman, two women, and both of them basically said the same thing to me, which was like crazy because it was one summer. It was just like, oh my god, you're my first Asian American man, and this is like what we were like 25, you know, and they had all the and even though I was quote unquote their first, like they had all these preconceived notions of what an Asian man was like. And so they would say, you know, again, they would use this sort of construct of you're the exception. And I thought it was really problematic because it very much showed what they felt an Asian man was. Well, the essentialized default or the essentialized norm of what an Asian man was, you know, it's certainly not sexually generous, you know? And so, I don't know. That was very jarring for me.
Yeah, like you don't know if you're supposed to, like, are they telling you to compliment you? In which case, that's kind of fucked up.
It was crafted as a compliment. Yeah, and it did not land well.
Yeah, but there is some part of you where you're like, hey, like hell yeah, you know, because you know, like I broke through your stereotype. But it's like, why do you have those stereotypes in the first place? Especially since you probably grew up other Asians. You don't, at least when a non-Asian woman says that, you can maybe chalk it up to total ignorance. But if it's another Asian, they probably don't have that excuse unless they were, you know, grew up in an all white area or whatever. So yeah, then it's just all sorts of fucked up.
Yeah, agreed. Do y'all have any interesting stories?
I wouldn't say these are necessarily like funny stories. I had, you know, but I have a couple observations. One thing. Okay. So one, just, I want to provide this example, as sort of, just a counterpoint to all the preconceptions about Asians, Asian parents. There was a girl in high school that I was seeing for a bit, and she had invited me over for dinner with her parents. And she lived kind of like, you know, I was a kid, so I didn't have a car or anything. I was taking BART, and it was about an hour and a half for me to get to her house. And so by the time dinner was over, you know, her parents were a little concerned about me going back home by myself. And so I was kind of like, oh, they're probably, you know, maybe the dad is going to give me a ride or something. You know, there's no way they're going to let me spend the night at their house. But I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. And in fact, I was so wrong, they set up a fucking cot in their daughter's bedroom for me. And I'm like, what is this? This is a trap, isn't it? Like, there's no, like, you can't seriously expect me to sleep in the cot, can you? And they did. And I did not sleep in the cot. The girl that I was, I guess, kind of dating at the time, she herself is a very sexually open person, worked in one of those sex ed health community centers. So she had a bucket full of condoms, which was kind of, I don't know. I was just unexpected, I guess. The whole night, honestly.
Just was, like, at the door.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was like trick or treat, you know, take your pick. And just to kind of add the cherry on top, she's an artist now. You want to talk about like breaking stereotypes or preconceptions or whatever, like that kind of little capsule there is breaking all the preconceptions. And her parents were awesome. They're very friendly. Obviously, I think well of them. And then the other observation that I have is that, and this is actually something that kind of saddens me, but I've had a number of experiences with Asian women that indicate to me that they experience a lot of just fucked up racial shit when it comes to the bedroom.
Okay.
You know,
like sexual violence and stuff.
Not necessarily. Yeah, one could rightfully consider it a form of violence, as well as just like really strong expectations. It was clear to me that they had been pressured very strongly. And so like as concrete examples, there was one girl in college I was hooking up with. She was Filipino, Catholic. And because she was Catholic, she was, you know, opposed to the idea of having sex, premarital sex. And when that came up, you know, we were starting to get into it. The first time we were hooking up, and she was like, "Hey, I'm Catholic. I'm not okay with having premarital sex." And I'm like, "Okay, that's no big deal. I can respect that. There's plenty of, you know, other ways that we can have fun." And unprompted, just out of the blue, she's like, "You mean anal?"
Yeah, I saw where that was going.
I mean, like, wow, okay. I mean, hey, I'm not opposed to it, but, you know, like, I'm not asking that of you. Like, I was thinking we could start with more basic things than that. But what that revealed to me, I mean, clearly she had that, she thought that that's the direction I was going because plenty of other guys have proposed that to her. And there's nothing wrong with anal, you know, I don't think that's like too extreme or anything, but I think it does speak volumes about how women are pressured and how particularly Asian women are pressured to do certain things. There was another girl that I was seeing who the first time we hooked up kind of started going into role playing as a geisha.
Oh,
and super weird. I was just like, no, that's not, I'm not into that. Please don't.
I've never encountered that, thankfully. Yeah.
The line between like internalized and sort of like them actively pursuing it is also kind of fuzzy too, right?
Well, I don't think that they were actively pursuing it. I think that's what they were habituated to, right? That is what they have found was asked of them or was received warmly by their partner.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. Like, Asian women are just like, there's a lot of sexual violence and violence in general. Like, nobody really talks about it. Or, like, it's just kind of swept under the rug. But it's, like, really bad. It's, like, it's traumatizing. And I have to say, like, in every relationship with, like, a non-Asian person, including, like, South Asian, like, I felt more dehumanized, like, in, like, a very, like, a tangible, like, a noticeable way for me.
Yeah, I have to wonder if Asian women feel pressured to do that as a way to, I guess, kind of, like, make, okay, so if white women are the standard, and women of color are you know, on some level below that, it's like women of color, but especially Asian women, because of the stereotypes, you have to like do a little extra, right? Because to kind of make up for that gap. Kind of like how maybe Asian guys might think we have to be wealthier, you know, to make up for our you know, like shortcomings vis-a-vis white men. I wonder how much of that has to do with it.
Yeah, and even if it's like they don't have that, like, you know, like insecurity to begin with, like them being socialized by all these guys to feel like they need to be a certain way, that definitely happens. I mean, it happens to white women too, you know, like it's really bad for women, period.
Yeah, it's like if you want to be popular, you gotta, you know, you gotta put out a little. And then how much of that, like, it depends on also your race. Because, like, the farther, like, if you're not white, you're going to have to do a bit more. It's things like that.
John, I wonder if, so you said she was Filipina. I wonder if they pressured her because she's, like, you know, does she pass for Latina at all?
No, I don't. Maybe, you know, in a dark club, maybe. But I wouldn't think so.
Okay, because I feel like Latina women get pressured for anal stuff a lot more. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't speak to that at all.
Maybe I'm just uptight. I never saw the appeal of anal. Never wanna.
Why do straight guys always say that?
No, but like a lot of straight guys are into it. That's like they search it up on porn all the time. That's like their dream or something. I'm just very like squeamish about just kind of like, you know, bodily function stuff. Maybe that's the reason.
No.
Well, you do piss out your dick, you know.
Dude, I don't know.
Sex is a bodily function. Right?
But I mean like human waste kind of stuff. I just hate like bathroom humor. I just really cannot stand it. Like,
dude, like, your piss comes out of a penis.
Well, yeah,
that's right. Human waste.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also, I don't know. I just got this like mental thing going on. I just don't see the appeal of it at all. Yeah.
I just want to get into a guy's butt just one time.
Yo, I highly encourage this.
Well, see, that I would actually be more into because I heard you get an awesome orgasm.
I feel like you would want to try it.
I'm really jealous about women's orgasms because like, guys' orgasm, it's okay. It's pretty good. You know, it's reliable, et cetera. But you know, those women, they have a good time. I want a piece of that, you know. I just have to get over my squeamishness about you know, that part of the body.
Are you saying quality over quantity?
I have a story. It's not that. It's actually kind of. But I think stories like this are good just because I think you could put this in like a coming of age movie or something. But the first time I had sex was with a Chinese American girl, and I was feared that like my because all the like stories about having sex is, you know, the guy that comes too early, right? And I'm like constantly thinking about it, and I just think I'm just gonna be this. You know, hard as like, you know, Statue of Liberty kind of thing. I'm just going to go in there. And after like 1 second, I'm going to come and she's going to be so disappointed. But the actual thing is the opposite happens. You get so nervous. The condom thing feels weird. And, and the thing was like, I think I could barely penetrated her. I still count that as my first time because it's the thought that counts in my mind.
You had some anxiety.
Yeah, and actually, I think I still something like I think the first time ever I have sex with someone, I am just happy if I like finish without like screwing up somehow, and I find that it takes like a few times to get truly comfortable, but like that time and then the second time I tried having sex, same thing happened, and I started like thinking, oh, is there something wrong with me, whatever, but you just have to accept it, and yeah, you know, the first time, especially with a new person, you'll probably get a bit nervous, so. That's an all Asian American story right there. Probably very relatable to a lot of guys listening to this.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, first times must be really hard for guys, right? Because, like, you don't know what to do. And, like, I would imagine it just is really hard for you to, like, know how to, like, get it in, right? like, because it's like something that would hurt a person. But it's not.
And you don't really know where exactly it goes. I mean, you probably see, you know, you probably watch like, you know, hours and hours of porn by that point. But still, it's not as easy when, you know, you're not like have some camera close up, you know, your eyes are like, you know, in her eyes or whatever. So you can't really see where it's going. You're just hoping it goes in. You're hoping she knows, she thinks you know what you're doing, which just makes you more nervous. Yeah. So. Yeah, first few times.
Do you knock on the wrong door by accident?
I don't think
it would be hard.
But there have been times.
Oh, really? Okay. That's happened to me. That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah. But there have been some women I've been with that are like very like tight. No, it just like naturally. And that can be a little weird. Where you have to like
that. Yeah, like that's a different set of different set of challenges.
Yeah.
Wait. What do you mean by weird?
Yeah, because like you feel like you're like gonna hurt her because you're like trying to ram it, but you know it doesn't go in as easily as with other people. So it's you know just okay. You gotta just take more care and purpose, have some lube, something like that.
Yeah, like so in college with my boyfriend in college, that's the person that I had sex with, like you know, it was like a fraught decision. We were like dating for a few months and then we're like, all right, okay, let's have sex now. And then like we tried for like a month, he just like
a month?
Could not figure out how to put it in, and I was just like waiting around and I was just like, what is this? So then
so he would try, but then he'd fail, and then he'd like lose
he'd feel so bad.
Yeah. I can relate. Yeah,
and so finally, I had to just be like, all right, let's just do this. So I got on top and I just like sat on him and I'm like, all right, we're doing it.
Ooh, that probably scared him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It worked.
Wait, he loses it as in he loses hardness?
No, it was fine. And then it was fine after that, but it was just like, sometimes you just gotta take charge.
Actually, one woman that I was hooking up with, she had this thing where she would instantly orgasm upon penetration.
Is that real? Well,
which kind of sounds awesome. It's real. And she like warned me before we slept together. And she's like, oh, you know, just to let you know, like I'm very sensitive, and you know, I pretty much come within seconds upon penetration. And it sounds awesome, but also it's like you can't like finish because she gets too sensitive. So
I've been in the exact same boat, and yeah, no, it's tough.
Yeah, because at first it feels like a porno, right? You're like, yeah, like the unrealistic porno where the guy just penetrates and the woman's just like shrieking and writhing, and like 99% of the time that's fake, but there's like maybe that 1% when it's actually real.
Yeah, but you felt pretty proud of yourself for like the first 5 seconds, right?
Oh yeah, I felt like the man, you know.
I can thoroughly debunk the notion that Asians are boring at sex.
I feel like that's only a stereotype for guys and maybe certain types of Asian women. But isn't the stereotype of Asian women that they're just like kinky, and that's why the fetish is so rampant?
I don't know if necessarily kinky. I think, at least in my experience, has always been about kind of availability and willingness. Not necessarily the woman herself saying, this is what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay. Do you have some examples that like disprove it? Or are those only for you? only for John?
I'm hesitating just because of the graphic nature of things.
That's only more enticing.
I guess so. I mean, I really had just intended to leave it there. I'm not sure I'm totally comfortable sharing all of that.
Yeah, especially they might even be listening, right?
I suppose it's technically possible.
Do your parents listen to these pods? I feel like that might make it a little
awkward. I hadn't even considered that.
I know my parents don't. I think they barely even know this exists, so, but I feel like Ray or Diana's parents might be the type of parents who listen in.
No
they definitely
okay,
don't.
Okay, all right, then everyone.
But I was gonna ask, can you, like, speaking of like erotic yellow love, I mean, can you talk to your parents about sex?
Me? Hell no.
That's a good question.
I talk to my mom sometimes, but not my dad.
In what terms do you guys talk?
Wait, Ray, I want to amend that answer. Okay, something happened. So I was in Korea in January visiting my parents. And then I carry condoms in my backpack. Because, you know, when I go over to my... Or just in my bag in general. Because, you know, when I go over to my girlfriend's, you know, I was want to have... You know, I mean, she has condoms too, but, you know, in case. But it was in my old backpack that, was gonna get thrown out, cause I got a new backpack in Korea. So my mom, at like one of the last days before I leave, she's like, oh, is everything out in your bag so I can throw it away? And I remember there was a pouch with condoms in it. And I was like, oh, I can't take it out now in front of her. So I was like, okay, everything's fine. Just throw it away. She goes out and it comes back in a few seconds later. And then she says, you left these in there. And she drops the condoms beside me and she just started laughing.
That's awesome.
It just started laughing. And I was like, great. Oh, wow. Maybe my mom's cooler than I thought. But still, no, I never talked to sex about her. Come on.
You're 30, right?
31.
Yeah. So it should be
in your 30s.
It just happened to me a few months ago.
Yeah.
Because there was never, I guess, because when I was living at home, it's not like I had girlfriends to bring over, for most of high school. And then when I'm in college, I went away and, they were living in Korea. So, there was never occasion for me to bring anyone over or get caught or anything like that. So happened when I was in my 30s.
That's a hilarious amendment because you guys didn't even talk about sex. It was just the mere recognition that it exists.
Yeah. I guess she now knows I'm not a virgin.
I'm pretty sure she figured that out a while ago.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, I started talking to my parents about sex, and I have been very pleasantly surprised that it's been very normalized, and they're not very good at it. I feel like we as a generation, and certainly there are cultural issues, we're just much more fluent. And so they'll say stuff like it, capital I in a text or something, and you're just like, what?
Raymond, have you done it?
Yeah, my mom will use hand gestures, and she'll be like, do the thing, the thing.
Wait, does she gesture like P and the V kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. It's hilarious.
Oh, man.
But yeah, she's totally cool, and she has been for a while. I mean, she knows my likes and dislikes and stuff. One time she found me a super hot Indian doctor on the bus. She was on a bus from Philadelphia and she talked him up, and sent him to meet me. It was are you whoa, my wing woman now? What is this? It was great.
Those matchmaker instincts,
yeah,
don't die.
Yeah.
Don't die so easily.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I have one last question. Speaking of y'all love, I think we all need good models in our life. I'm increasingly just disenchanted with the sort of representation dialogue and Hollywood in general. I mean, there's a reason why Ali Wong is this great exception. Do you guys have people in your lives, Asian American couples that are visible and could act as good models for quote unquote yellow love in your life?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think excluding you guys, everyone I met through Plan A, in terms of my parents, generation, I'm really trying to think. Well, I do remember, I had these relatives, my dad's younger brother who unfortunately passed away quite young. But I mean, there's always relative drama, your parents and their parents don't get along. They would visit from Korea, every few years. I remember they weren't very pleasant people. But their coupledom was actually quite, oddly enough, even though they were generally unpleasant to everybody, they were quite lovey-dovey between the two of them. That's one example I can think of from my parents' generation, age group. Anybody else, please jump in. I'm still trying to think.
There's no one that I can think of, and I think that's why I always assumed that I would be in an interracial relationship. Growing up, I saw more black men, Asian women couples on screen, so I was that's awesome. And on TV, because in the 90s they had this thing where they would be the token minority needs a partner, so we'll just partner them up with the other token minority. And because it was usually an Asian woman token and a black male token, mm-hmm, those two would always hook up, so that seemed natural. And I did dating black men because you can talk to them about race. way more than most Asian guys.
I can't say that I have any, I can't think of any models necessarily. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. I mean, I know of Asian couples that I think are great, but I don't know if I can say that I know any, like, intimately enough where I feel like they are a role model. And I can't say that my parents are included in that either, unfortunately. But and so maybe that is partly why I think that it is radical to see an Asian American couple on screen, right? Like there's plenty of examples of like Asian couples, right? You can watch K dramas, you can watch, you know, whatever. You can just go to Asia, but Asian American couples specifically, I don't really see a lot of.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mean on screen. I mean, I just mean in real life. Like, certainly, you know, Asian American couples, yeah, in real life, right?
Yeah, but none that I would look up to necessarily. I mean,
what is deficient? Like, why wouldn't you look up to them as a model of yellow love? Because I think this gets actually at the core of sort of what we're talking about, like, which is like basically like two quote unquote rare Asians, like two Asians who are at the tail of the distribution that like don't date out.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think probably my requirements would be that they're older than me, you know? I don't, you know, not that there isn't value in a couple that's the same age as me, but if I'm looking for a role model, I'm probably looking for somebody that, a couple that has gone through what I might be approaching. I can think of one couple that I like. You know, I can't say that I'm too familiar with them, but they are a professional. I know them professionally, and they operate a business together. Very successful. They actually maintain a crew of, like, pretty much their entire crew is Asian as well, which is kind of interesting. And they are like third and second generation, I think. I think there might be both Chinese American. And by all rights, both are attractive and desirable people. As far as I've seen, they get along really well, work together really well, and they give each other the space they need.
Yeah, to be role model, I do think they have to be older, especially during your formative years, or just like really much higher than you in social status, which I think why a lot of Asian Americans get so concerned with media representation. Because I think it might be a bit hard to look up to people who are your peers or, you know, even younger than you, just because there is some, I don't know, just the way the social dynamic works, it might not be as easy to do so. And I think, for our parents, I mean, you heard from Diana, Jong, and me. I don't know, maybe Ray, maybe you knew a lot of like older, role model Asian American couples, but, you know, hearing from the rest of us, there really isn't. And it's kind of like too late, I think, for us now, because that generation is a bit too old. So now we're just looking to the screen, because that seems to be the only way for us to find those role models.
Yeah. I think it is a generational thing, and it does make me like question too if this will be that big of an issue. Certainly it's going to be an issue forever probably, but if sort of like people who are Gen Z or younger, if, you know, because there's going to be dope ass Asian couples like in their lives, you know?
I don't know if that's guaranteed. I think people, I don't want to self aggrandize too much, but people like us and other people, I think we do have to push this like yellow love thing to be real, or else I think they're just going to fall into the same trap we did. And it's like, I think second gen Asian Americans are all sorts of fucked up in many ways. So it's just going to be the blind leading the blind. So we gotta, you know, start curing the blindness.
Sure.
So I think we should wrap this up. It's been a great topic. We should definitely revisit it, but I think it's time for final thoughts. So who wants to start? Jong, why don't we start with you?
Okay. Let's see. Final thoughts. Shit. I would say don't let other people fuck with your concept of who you're attracted to or what you're into. I've said it on the pod before, but let your freak flag fly. You know, don't
like, yeah, that's your life motto.
Fuck all that noise about, fuck all that noise about like, oh, you know, of course you're dating an Asian. Nah, if you're into them, go for it. Be unapologetic, I would say. That's probably a recurring theme. And just like, you know, just be cool with yourself and the people that you love. Like, it's all good.
Well said. Diana?
I really like the, you know, be yourself and just kind of like love yourself aspect of it, because that's where it starts. Like, I get the feeling a lot of people think of themselves as an individual and Asian, or like an individual and like not super Asian, but it's like the Asianness is always like separate from that. But like, you are who you are. Like, you can be an individual and be you're an Asian individual, and like those two aren't diametrically opposed. And I think once we need to just like think of ourselves that way, you know?
Yeah, again, well said. And Ray?
Yeah, very much agreed. I mean, I just want to encourage everyone to, you know, be the vanguard. And you know, as we're talking about this, we rely on these like abstractions of yellow love and resistance and, you know, like non-assimilation and all these things. But, you know, the framework and theory for yellow love hasn't been fleshed out. And I just want to encourage everyone to live it. Be the vanguard.
And actually, if I can hop on that point, just kind of, I want to emphasize that, you know, whether or not realize that your choice of partner is a political statement, at least certainly in today's world. And so be aware of it and, you know, do with that what you will, but just be aware that your choice matters. You're not subject to your environment on its own.
Yeah, you're totally. You're a human being, not a robot, right?
Yeah,
well said. I mean, we're running a long time, so I'll just say three words. Militancy is sexy, so keep that in mind, please. All right, so great talking about this with you all. Hope you enjoyed this chat as much as I did. So I bid everyone a good night.
Good night.
Bye.
All right, tune in next week for another episode of Escape from Plan A. Bye, everyone.